Welcome to PvP Pitch Versus Pitch, the show where three idiot gamers pitch incredible video game pitches on inconceivable topics in search of that sweet, buttery, elusive green light. I'm Chris, producer at large here at Watch Mojo.
I am Dan, Mojo Plays in corporeal form.
Hi, I'm Kyle, host of Watch Mojo's The Worst Travel Show, and I've been gaming since 1990.
Nice, there we are. That worked out well. Here's how this here show works. The three of us will pitch each other video game ideas on predetermined topics, debate their merits, and you will eventually vote on whose pitches were the strongest. On the agenda today, we've got pitches for games about The Simpsons, conspiracy theories, and some mini pitches about nudity. So we're going to get to that, but first I want to know what games we're playing this week. Dan, what are you playing?
I played a bit of Sea of Thieves this week, because we did our review, which you should check out, regardless of whether or not you have made your judgment on the game. Played a bit of that this week. Didn't get to play a lot of Kingdom Come. I've been playing that a little bit. I'm waiting for a patch. There's something that's broken in my game. A lot of people are complaining about it. Some bugs in the game. There's some bugs. We'll see what I get to play this weekend. Maybe add some PUBG. I played a lot of PUBG Mobile.
Yeah. How is that?
It's awesome. It turns out I'm not the hot shit I thought I was, though.
No.
Because they've seeded the game with bots for first-time players. So I got like 9 kills and a chicken dinner my first try, and I'm like, wow, look at me, Mr. Mobile Champion.
Wow.
But everyone that plays reports similar
bots.
Luck. So apparently I'm actually not good at all.
Honestly, I wish the PC version would do the same thing, because I'm getting tired of just constantly losing over and over and over and rage quitting every night. So
it's pretty brutal. It's pretty brutal. But that's what I've been playing.
Nice. Kyle?
I have returned to Yharnam, because Bloodborne was a free PS Plus game this month. And even though I already platinumed Bloodborne because it's like the greatest game, I am now replaying it again for no reason. There's no extra content. There's no reason for me to go back, except that it's just a good use of my adult time.
I'm so jealous, dude. I'm the biggest Dark Souls fan. I've beaten 2 and 3 at least twice a pop.
They're the best.
Yeah, everyone says that Bloodborne is the best, so I'm very, very jealous.
It's a little different. Yeah, I mean, it's got more of that like steampunk vibe,
Victorian
setting.
Lovecraft.
Yeah, but it's great. It's great.
Super jealous.
You know, I also played a bit of Sea of Thieves, and like, I didn't think of myself as a social gamer. Like, that's never been high on my priority list, but I don't remember feeling so excited about getting back into a game before, because the more I play this game, the less I think of it. And you mentioned this in your review, is that like game mechanics, not much. Like there's not much of a fighting system. The questing is not very developed, at least not yet.
Excuse me.
But it seems like a really good platform for getting into shenanigans with your buddies. And I look forward to doing more of that. Speaking of shenanigans with buddies, are we ready to get into some pitches?
Hell yes.
Let's do it.
All right, first on the agenda is The Simpsons. Now, for each of these pitches, please go to watchmojo.com/suggest and find the PvP Episode 2 page to vote on which pitch you think should get the green light and why. The order, will, as always, be Dan, me, and then Kyle. But guys, Simpsons games. Have you guys been, first of all, are you fans of the show? Or to what degree are you fans of the show?
I'm that classic, you're tired of hearing it, only a fan up to season 8 kind of guy, and not including the first season because it's weird. Dan Castellaneta.
He hadn't gotten it
Dan
down
is not
yet.
On the show yet. No, I don't think he was even on it yet.
Wasn't he?
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But
certainly didn't sound like the Homer we know now.
No. I stopped watching around like the 10th, 11th season, I guess.
Yeah.
What I find so interesting about The Simpsons is that like, you know, I liked about like a 6 to 8 season run, but there's been that amount of episodes several times over since I quit. Like, so you could pick up the show and then drop it in the same span of episodes as I have enjoyed so much. So there might be there's probably another group of people who really like that mid-tier, that like, you know, season 10 to 18, who really hate 18 to 20. Four now?
Yeah, something like
five?
That.
I don't know what season it's on.
I mean, to quote Bart, what you don't know could fill a warehouse. Right. And I feel I feel the exact same way. He says that.
No,
he
does. No, no.
He says, you don't know all these shows.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's Bart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to PvP, Bart. Thank you for coming. Yeah. I'm the same. I watched like 11 seasons of it, and then it is incredible that The Simpsons has as many bad seasons as other episodes have like bad episodes.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. It's just been around so long. It's like Coronation Street, been around for like 80 years. Another show that I love to watch with my mom.
Oh, that should totally be the topic of another PvP pitch. Coronation Street.
Oh, Corey.
Oh, that'd be great, actually.
Yeah,
a lot of fodder.
Our Jump the Shark episode.
What about me, then? Where's my egg and chip? It's just a bunch of lower middle class white guys arguing about dinner.
No idea what you just said. So what have there been any Simpsons games that you've enjoyed?
I played Tapped Out very briefly.
Yeah, me too.
Until my roommate started making... He's like, why are you always just jabbing at your screen wildly? Also, like, I am aware that Hit and Run is the one that everyone really liked.
Mm-hmm.
I also rented...
I was a huge fan of the arcade cabinet beat-em-up one, where Marge uses the vacuum cleaner and Bart's got the skateboard. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what Homer's weapon is. He might just punch.
He just punches.
But that was pretty fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I think everyone's... pretty much a fan of that. And that was like, that's like early Simpsons too, like season one or two. You can tell by the art style and like who are the villains and stuff.
Totally. You guys want to guess how many, I mean, according to Wikipedia, I haven't crossed, you know, fact checked this anywhere else, but according to Wikipedia, how many Simpsons games official have there been?
Kyle, you got this?
I would say 12.
Oh. Any idea, Dan? Want to guess?
It's numbering 50, I'm sure.
27.
27. Oh, I'm... Oof.
27. So,
totally off.
Across how many platforms is that?
You name it. Like, the first ones were on Amiga, Atari ST, the Amstrad CPC, Commodore 64, ZX Spectrum. Like, Bart versus the Space Mutants. There's versions of that where, like, Bart is just a black outline, you know? And there's, like, four colors in the palette. It's weird. So what do you think a good Simpsons game needs? Any ideas, like, before we get into the straight-up pitches? I'll tell you what I think. I think it needs the real voice actors and a lot of voice actors, right? A lot of them, a lot of their performance, and the real writers. That was what I think was great about Tapped Out, is that you had a lot of the characters in their own voices, and it felt like things that they would say, you know, even if it's just like little chirps,
little
here
barks,
and there.
Yeah.
It worked. And it also had lots of Springfield, which I think is a big part of, or is something that will make The Simpsons great again.
Okay. So there was one thing, that I did really appreciate about Tapped Out, and it was just a little throwaway joke. Homer and Lisa are talking about how they have to rebuild the town. Like, the setup is still being set up, essentially. And she's like, but the town won't be in the same order. And he's like, no one cares about the order of this town. For one time, I made a joke about a prison being in our backyard. And the next day, the prison was gone. Nobody cares.
It's so true. And, you know, I think that right there points to another element that I feel like a Simpsons game should have, which is genre deconstruction.
Yeah. Right? It's got to be referential. It's got to poke fun at itself a little bit.
Exactly.
I think.
Simpsons pretty much, like, popularized. They didn't invent it, but they were the ones that brought that sensibility to the mainstream. And I think a game should carry that through. Just my thoughts.
Okay.
Any other thoughts before we hear Dan's pitch?
No, let's get into it.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, talking about, you know, being reverential, talking about its own being self-aware. My idea, I don't know if anyone ever played The Magical Quest starring Mickey Mouse, or I used to call it Mickey's Magical Quest, but I think it's like Disney's Magical Quest starring Mickey Mouse.
No.
Anyway, it's a linear platformer, but it's got a little bit of a Metroidvania element in so much that you get different costumes throughout the game, and those different costumes allow you to interact with different things to find different areas and progress. So you get like a fireman costume to put out fires and freeze stuff, and then you get like a mountain climber outfit that helps you climb stuff, and later levels you have to figure out which outfit to use to get past certain points and open up different secrets.
Nice.
Now, so mine... my game would be a journey across all seasons of The Simpsons, where you begin in season one as season one Homer, and then for each level you're in a different season and you get new costumes and different Homers that you have to swap out with to progress to certain parts.
Nice.
So, like, because you know Homer has had literally every job under the sun, right? And his art style has evolved. significantly. So you start as like this Homer in the first one, and then you swap out to like a slightly cleaner version who works, you know, who's the safety inspector now at the plant, mm-hmm. and then you swap out to like, I don't know, let me think.
Well, there's king-sized Homer in right. that episode where he went over 300 pounds.
Right, exactly. So that's mm-hmm. perfect. That'll help you like steamroll enemies or something like that.
There's Power Sauce Homer, where he comes mountain climber.
Indeed, that's mm-hmm. the one. That's one of the ones I was actually thinking of. Okay, so definitely mountain climber.
I don't
one.
Want to interrupt.
No, it's fine. Anyway, the final level will be Fox Network headquarters, where you have to defeat the executives and let yourself die in peace. Like your objective is to finally get to the end and cancel the show.
That's good. I think what's great about that is I read somewhere that the only thing that's actually keeping The Simpsons on the air is the licensing revenue. Like, it's not that the ratings are so good that the advertising revenue is high. It's that it's being licensed all over the place. And so if they let it die, you know, that hose will start to trickle, you know?
Definitely so, making money off it.
I think that's an appropriate ending to that game. Kudos.
Right? I'm not sure how everyone would feel about that, but The Simpsons writers have always poked fun at Fox. So I think it's not too lofty an idea.
It's true. Making fun of Fox is definitely very canon.
Yes, exactly. It's full canon.
Yeah. Any thoughts, Kyle?
I think it's beautiful to have a character's quest be to end his own life. Like, it's kind of really nice. I don't think I've ever seen that before. Like, someone just please release me from this everlasting hell. And I would want to do that for Homer. Like, that. I love the characters so much in The Simpsons that if they're all struggling, I want to put them out of their misery.
It's very much the Wolverine story. It's very similar to the Wolverine in so much that, like, mm-hmm. that's in that movie, that's what his quest is, to find like a way to die, and then but also Homer is pretty much impervious to injury, so it mirrors the two characters are almost the same, carbon copies essentially.
It's true. You could beat him over the head with a sterile surgical 2x4 all afternoon and he wouldn't feel a thing.
This is exactly
remember
that one.
Yes, that was a great one. So that's another a level that it could be. The boxing episode. But wait, is it a platformer? What's the gameplay like here?
I think it would be platformer. Okay. You're looking at some B-roll of Mickey's Magical Quest or Disney's Magical Quest as we speak, because the miracle of editing. But it would be a nice side-scrolling platformer, and I think that would allow the art style to really pop. You know, like I really want the evolving art in there.
Yeah, it's easy to move linearly through the years of The Simpsons when you're moving your character linearly.
Yeah, it's symbolic, ludonarrative.
I feel like I could get behind it if it was very short. If each episode was or each level was like a season that just had all the major touch points of that season, like all the references, and it's really more about just like reliving your memory of The Simpsons, because I feel like if you're just doing an old school linear platformer, it's sort of been done. I think it's even been done in The Simpsons before. But if it's like a really concise like 28 episode or sorry season level game, and each level was like a minute max, and it was just like, oh yeah, that thing, oh I love that joke, oh there's that joke, done, and then like you can play it in a sitting, mm-hmm. I'd be into that. I think that would be cool.
Yeah, condensed nostalgia.
Yeah.
Let it live up to your rose-tinted glasses.
Yeah, I'd be down with that too, because you almost lost me when you said it was a platformer, because there have been so, like, everything's a platformer. All throughout the 90s, the games are all platformers. Especially all the Game Boy games. There were so many Game Boy games, all platformers, just like jump here, jump there. You're always Bart.
You're thinking about game trends. I don't think it would work as like a cover shooter like we got in the mid-aughts.
Yeah, that's true.
Or another idea I actually kind of threw out just before we sat down was it's PUBG, but with all the different Homers. Mm-hmm. And you have to be the last Homer standing.
Okay.
So, but I...
That'd be a good mod.
Yeah, it would be a mod.
All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and green light this. What do you think, Kyle?
I think there's too many Simpsons video games. This is a fat red light for me.
Oh, against the red light.
Receptive during the conversation, and then it's just like slips the nights into your guts.
Well, I still like and support you and your ideas, but just this one's
not this one.
Fat red.
Well, hopefully, hopefully he's more receptive to mine. So, you know, when I was listing all the things that I feel like a Simpsons game needs to do to be successful, it made me think a lot about the Stick of Truth, right? I haven't played the Fractured Butthole, but it's successful for the same reasons, right?
Hey, I also reviewed that.
Yeah, check out the review on Mojo Plays.
Actually, it's on Watch Mojo.
Oh, on Watch Mojo. But then subscribe to Mojo Plays anyway. Like they have the voice of the show, they have the characters, basically that's it, like the world, the characters, the voice of the show, they nail it. And so my idea follows, aims to recreate those same successes. So it's Stick of Truth meets Chrono Trigger. Okay, it's a turn-based RPG. The art style should look just like The Simpsons does in 2018. Not 3D, not trying to be something that isn't. Another thing that the South Park games did well. So here's the idea. Aliens are threatening to invade Springfield. The first thing they do is kidnap Mayor Quimby. There's a huge town meeting where they try to decide who will become mayor and lead Springfield's defense. Lots of prominent Springfielders step forward with proposals, and then Professor Frink says, hey, let's choose one mayor and then use my time machine to go forward in time and see how that turns out, right? Of course, every trip to the future does not go as planned, and that's the basis of your gameplay. You play as a mute protagonist, like in South Park and a myriad other games, that you can fully customize. Each time you go into one of the future timelines, you can assemble your party from a large pool of Springfielders. And that's exciting to me because we've never got to play as Ralph Wiggum in a game. You know, we've never got to see what Edna Krabappel's special combat skill is. So, speaking of which, we should have permadeath. There should be permadeath.
Roguelike. Just permadeath with the characters.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you bring four into one timeline and only two come back. Well, those other two, their bodies are lost in that timeline. They're not coming with you. So every timeline you visit is a different fantasy motif, right? That's related to the mayor chosen. This opens the door for that deft and pithy genre deconstruction that I feel is so intrinsic to The Simpsons. Martin's world is like a cyberpunk dystopia, right? Comic book store guys is like a Renaissance fair gone too far. So you get to see the characters in all these different fantasy settings, right? So the timelines start to affect each other, the people at the meeting get restless, complications arise from the time travel, etc., and the game evolves. So that's the pitch. Oh, it's called The Simpsons Timeline Crisis. Not the best title, but there it is.
Got to workshop that.
I really
title.
Like that XCOM permadeath element. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, thank a little you. Bit of Fire Emblem maybe in there. Yeah. Okay. I like the Chrono Trigger thing, the hopping back and forth in time. Oh, interesting.
Yep. It also reminds me of, this is going way back and totally showing my age. Ultima Underworld 2 had a similar sort of structure where you're trapped
nice.
in Lord British's castle, and you can voyage to all these different worlds through portals in the basement, and they. I think they kind of start affecting each other, and there's a plot unfolding in the castle itself as you accomplish these things, but it's all very non-linear, very revolutionary.
Cool.
Any questions, holdbacks, concerns about this pitch?
I feel like it's a great idea just based on the South Park success. I feel like everyone loves The Simpsons so much, it'll just work. I feel like if you can get the voice actors, if you can get a cool original story, there's no reason why this wouldn't be a successful game.
Well, to play devil's advocate to my own idea, the actors, you know how much they make per episode on TV?
Oh, probably a lot.
$400,000 each per episode.
Per episode?
Per episode. $400,000 each. All the main ones.
Oh, man. What am I doing here?
Right? You should just be Hank Azaria.
Yeah.
That makes me so angry. I am never watching The Simpsons again. That's absurd.
For real? That makes you mad?
Holy crap. Oh, yeah. I mean, that level of wealth inequality is just absurd. I mean, we like The Simpsons, right? But 400K per ep? Think that through, man. That's nuts.
But who are you mad at?
Permadeath. I want them all permadead now. I'm mad at my own bank account, okay? It's a jealousy-based anger.
Oh, man. Kyle adopted socialism immediately after learning about how much The Simpsons actors were paid.
It's true.
All right, so what are we saying about this?
I'm giving you the green light. I think that's pretty darn good. I like that a lot. I like it better than mine.
I was fully green lighted until you told me that goddamn stat about 400K, and now it's a red light.
Oh, we're never going to get a Simpsons game made. You'd think it wouldn't be this hard. There's been almost 30 of them. All right. All right, well, Kyle, what do you have?
Okay, so you guys remember the great action game Max Payne?
I do. Yeah.
Yes. Fantastic game. Love it so much. Before we started, I just wanted to shout out Krusty's Super Funhouse on the SNES, because I think that was the first ever Simpsons game I played, and it was kind of like a Lemmings clone, and I hated it so much. It was so terrible. I could never figure it out, and it really like soured my Simpsons gaming experiences until I played that arcade cabinet, which I really liked, and then it was like, okay, fine. It's a real up and down, give and take, which is a pretty good representation of what the Simpsons seasons have been like after season 11. Anyway, Max Payne. We'll remember in Max Payne that you'd be going through shooting all the people in those slummy tenements, and then there'd be like a TV, and on that TV it would be playing like a fake show like Lords and Ladies or something. That was like one of the ones that they had. It was like a melodrama chamber piece thing. So my idea is it's the full Max Payne game, but except you take out all the Lords and Ladies garbage and you just put in season one of The Simpsons, and in each level you can watch a full Simpsons episode on the TV, and if you want to sit down, like you can eat, interact with the couch and sit down, you can watch more than one episode at a time. So you can spend hours and hours just watching The Simpsons within Max Payne. And I think it's a great idea because the game is already great. It's already made, so we don't have to spend any time creating a game. The show, also great, also already made, so we don't have to spend time making the show. All we got to do is put all of our resources into licensing both of those things, which probably really easy and cheap, and then there you go, the game's done.
Kyle, you're
gonna... and the title is Max Payne.
Kyle, you're describing a mod. That is a mod. That's,
I guess it's true. Can we charge for a mod? Actually, a mod's great, because then we wouldn't have to pay for the licensing fees. If it's a mod, you can just like put it up and you've kind of stolen it. And then we charge a buck.
Yeah.
Or we get a Patreon or something. We get a Patreon going.
Yeah. I mean, hey, look, if anyone is going to rely that much on fair use, it's going to be WatchMojo. So I think we can pull this off.
Well, if you guys don't like that idea, we could do Max Payne 2 and replace Dick Justice, which is on the TV, with Simpsons Season 2.
Right. You're making me nostalgic for Max Payne. I've forgotten about that.
They're the best games, except for 3, which was not that great. But yeah. Max Payne 1 and 2 are like all-time classics.
3, it's like, here, play for 4 minutes and then watch 4 minutes of cutscenes, and then play for another 2 minutes and then watch another 8 minutes of cutscenes.
You know, I think
but
I still...
But the gameplay's so good.
I probably still have all my VHS tapes of the Simpsons, so I can just bring that in. And the way that Max watches it on TV should be like VHS quality, like he's doing what I and probably many, many other people would do, which is just like watch the VHS tapes that you've made from the syndicated reruns.
Absolutely.
Like, some of them will have commercials, some won't. The tracking might be a bit off on some of them.
How much did you end up hating the episodes that you taped?
Not at all.
I taped like the Lord of the Flies episode.
Yeah.
Not a good episode. But I hated that episode from top to bottom after a week or two because I just watched it so many times. I preferred the Hank Hill, King of the Hill Halloween special that came right after.
This sounds more like a Dan problem than a Simpsons problem to me here.
Yeah, you got to bring us fewer Dan problems.
Most things in my life boil down to Dan problems.
Okay, but that is not... I'm sorry, I'm still stuck on that not being a good episode. Go Banana! Come on.
Go Banana. Okay, fair enough, fair enough. And then they take a jab at Canada in that.
The children are rescued by, let's say Mo. All right. Well, I will greenlight that because I wouldn't mind playing Max Payne again, and I like watching The Simpsons always. So, yeah, I'm down.
It's a win-win.
Dan,
I'm tempted to just say red light because I feel cheated out of the theme. Like I was trying real hard, and you just kind of shoehorned it into your pet favorite thing.
What? No. I spent a lot of time thinking about this.
You know what? Spite red light.
Red light. Red spite. Oh, man. That's three red lights. Three
That's
red
fair.
Lights
I respect
for our
that.
Simpsons concepts. This is unprecedented in the long history of the show.
But think of all the money we're going to save on licensing.
Enough. Yep, enough. All right, should we move on to our next topic?
Hell yes.
What are we doing? Conspiracy theories, or CTs, as I like to call them. So I want to ask, before we get into the pitches, how do you guys feel about conspiracy theories in general? Like, are you intrigued by them, totally dismissive? Do you maybe kind of believe some of them? Talk to me about your feelings, please.
I'm pretty dismissive. Like, you know, reality has just become so strange here in this timeline, in the timeline that we find ourselves in, that I feel like conspiracy theories have, like, they're not even fun anymore, because like the actual news out there is so much more wacky and insane that, like, when you unless it's like a crazy, like, you know, the hormones are turning the frogs gay kind of conspiracy, like, nothing beats it. Like, the conspiracy theories now have to kind of walk back reality into something that could be plausible. So, and I was never really a fan of it. I always thought the people that, like, get really, really worked up talking about the temperature that steel beams melt are not the types I generally like to hang out with.
Fair enough. Kyle?
I like to think of myself as an evidence-based person, so I believe things that first have considered evidence presented, but anytime I hear a good conspiracy theory, I want so badly to believe it, just because it seems fun and cool that, like, you know, Bigfoot could exist. A little preview for what my game's going to be. It features Bigfoot.
Ooh.
So, I mean, I think it's really cool when a conspiracy theory proves to be true after history, you know, like, oh, I don't know if the JFK assassination was an inside job or not, but it seems like it probably was, you know. I don't actually have any conspiracy theories to use as an example right now to support what I'm saying. No evidence for my evidence-based belief system, but that's where I'm at, okay? Sorry.
That's fine.
You don't have to apologize.
Conspiracy theories that turned out to be true is somewhat related to my pitch. So,
well,
all right, sweet.
Should we get into it?
Yes.
Yeah. Take it away.
Okay. Has anyone seen the movie Conspiracy Theory?
No.
No.
Okay. Late 90s, early 2000s action movie starring Mel Gibson and Patrick Stewart. Mel Gibson is a kooky conspiracy theory writer who has, like, I think he has a radio show, or he distributes a leaflet or something like that, but he's a total nut bar. And no one believes his stuff because it's all complete BS, although he kind of believes it. However, he gets in trouble with a shadowy government organization that has black helicopters and everything, because it turns out that he actually struck gold on one of his ideas, except he doesn't know which one it is. So my game is entirely ripping off that whole concept.
That's fun.
Except it's also ripping off the concept for a game we also just reviewed. Man, I'm getting three plugs in one day here, which just came out, called A Way Out, which is a cooperative game where you have to succeed at getting out of prison and then pulling off another heist. Okay, so in this game, instead of being just two random inmates, you are Alex Jones and Paul Joseph Watson, and you have to escape from your studio and discover which of your wacky theories turned out to be true and who's trying to kill you. Anyway, you can also have power-ups like brain force pills and throw gay frogs at people or something like that. But basically, I really like the idea of a tag team duo of PJW and Alex Jones.
Nice.
Yeah. Also, they're a good, like, you know, skinny guy, big guy kind of duo.
Nice.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Are we looking at a kind of story-based experience here?
Yeah, like, it's mostly story-based.
Alex Jones voice his own character?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you'd have to turn your mic levels down real low to record him in all his glory. But PJW also has a pretty great voice, so they would have to play themselves, pretty much. And I think they would get off on the idea that, like, you know, like, they're so smart that they actually piss off shadowy government organizations, and that their lives are a constant struggle and they are in danger because they're living jokes.
Yeah.
But I think they like to believe, like, they drink their own Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of their image, right? Their image is that they're correct about these things, right? It's not just one thing that they have correct, but everything.
It's all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they take their own brain force.
Yeah, and so I think that they would totally get on board with this. They would probably want an inordinate amount of the revenues, like a huge share of them. So that might be difficult.
Well, we could offset the costs by allowing them to plug in-game all the stuff they plug on their show. Like they plug a lot of Doomsday Prepper stuff, which also, by the way, would be stuff that's great for like
camping.
Well, just tools that you wouldn't use in a video game, camouflage and weaponry and, you know, just canned meat. I don't know what they sell.
I think that probably most of it is less practical than that. It's like anti-gay frog pills.
Yeah. Gentlemen, any more questions?
I wonder if we could have a cameo from Mel Gibson in this, because he seems nutty, and he was in the original movie, right?
The plot could revolve around, like, that could be the actual conspiracy that they got right, that Mel Gibson was set up by a Soros conspiracy. And he's actually not a racist.
Nice.
Yeah, there we go. I actually like that would be a great twist.
Yeah.
Going into the third act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm totally down for that.
Yeah.
Get with the Gibber. Star power. Yep.
Does Mel have any more nicknames? I just called him the Gibber, but
the Gibber. I don't know if he has any nicknames.
Aside from Mel.
Yeah. And Mel. Yeah. What's his
Braveheart name? And Mel, those are his two nicknames. His real name and then Braveheart.
Wait, no, but I assume his real name is like Melbourne or something, or Melvin.
Melanie?
Yeah, exactly.
Melanie Gibson?
It's actually pronounced Melbourne. But,
listen, I would greenlight this game on one condition, and that is that in the deep fine print of the Alex Jones contract, we redirect all profits from the game to like a New World Order organization that we are like shadow owners of, so he won't make any money. And then you get this meta payoff of like a conspiracy theory game was a conspiracy to steal all of his money in real life outside of it. Well, then I would greenlight it, but I can't give money to Alex Jones like in good conscience.
That would work
unless we have
me,
that,
because I am in fact one of the lizard people. You know, this podcast has low viewership at this point. I don't think it's going to get out too far. But
you know, I always thought you. Ever since we did that trailer video, and there's a shot of you hulking out, and we can see your neck, and you look very lizard-like. I always thought that you were a lizard person. Thanks for admitting it.
Thanks.
Finally,
yeah.
I thought the main tenet of Lizard People was to not admit it, but that's courageous to come out like that, and I support you.
Yeah. All right. Well, it would look insensitive to me to red light Dan's idea right after he comes out, so I guess I'm going to green light Dan's coming out idea. Great. So we're all set. We're all set on that one. What was the title of that?
Yeah, I'll green light that.
I didn't have a title. I don't know. Guys, any ideas?
Something like Alex Jones is proven right again.
Alex Jones, never been wrong before.
That's right. Alex Jones in Alex Jones, never been wrong.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm really stuck up on Stephen Colbert's like impression, like the brain fight thing that he did.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have looked that up, but I like the idea of just calling it brain fight.
That's pretty good. We'll do brain fight.
That's good.
Yeah.
Cool.
I can't take credit for that though.
All right, so my game is an open-world RPG set in a slightly fantastical near future, kind of like Watch Dogs meets The Matrix. Mm. Our hero, I'm calling him Sadiq Batshaw. It just came to me. Sadiq Batshaw. He's a cyberpunk cross between The Witcher and a Ghostbuster. And the name of the game is The Switcher. The Switcher.
Okay.
So the point of the game is to seek out not just the source of these conspiracy theories, or C-theories, as they're called in the game, but also the cause, and to heal both, all right?
Oh.
Or at least neutralize both. So, you know, rather than, as opposed to Dan, who's like completely dismissive of conspiracy theories, I have like more empathy and curiosity and like an open mind. And there was a time in my life when like I was super into conspiracy theories. Like I went down a rabbit hole. And at the time, like I can look back on it now with a lot of like clarity and hindsight. I was like underemployed. I was really broke. I was in like a foreign city. I was like drifting and unrooted. I was like living a lie of a relationship. And so,
as opposed to now,
no, now like I have more like stability and purpose and a good relationship, and I've like reformed somewhat. But I feel like when I was in that state, I was like really vulnerable to any kind of narrative that would connect all of these like disparate pieces of my life into something that had like sense and purpose, and maybe made me feel special a little bit for like knowing things that other people didn't. You know what I mean? So I have a lot of like empathy for that. So maybe that's where I'm coming from. So, in this world of the Switcher, Switchers are a cast of like techno mystics. Okay, their duty is to smoke out and correct lie makers and propaganda machines, trolls, and destructive sea theorists. They're called Switchers because they switch lies to truth, but also because they can switch between physical reality and digital reality. So a big part of the game is traveling the web to root out these untruths and then converting them to truths. The digital world has like the art style of it is like kind of cel shaded, and Switchers get around on surfboards. You get it?
Sounds cool.
Yeah. See what he did there? Yeah, it's like it's totally radical color scheme too. Kind of like how they always used to, like in the movie Hackers.
Yeah.
Remember that movie?
Oh my God. I went out and bought the soundtrack on tape.
Oh, nice. Who was on that soundtrack?
Prodigy.
Oh, of course.
And then some others.
You bought it for the Prodigy song.
Yeah. They have voodoo people on that. Like, it's a great song.
Okay, so here's an example of what a mission might look like. So Sadiq sees a tweet about how the president has converted the swimming pool in the basement of the White House into a cloning tank for child sex slaves, right? And that's the start of a quest. You need to help him surf down the provenance of that sea theory using both real world and digital world techniques. And when you finally find the personal organization that is the source, you need to correct it. So usually you can confront them IRL, talk with them, you know, find out what is the psychological or emotional root of their conspiratorial antics. You know, are they estranged from their family? Do they just need to feel special? Are they frustrated because their improv comedy career hasn't gone anywhere? And I think I wrote that because I actually read about this like alt-right, I don't know if he's a conspiracy theorist, but very vocal alt-right guy who like was clearly a failed stand-up and found his audience doing that instead. The Switcher then, you know, finds these things out and helps them. If he does it right, then the trolls might just switch sides and become an ally on a quest later on. So if it doesn't work, Sadiq will switch tactics and get violent and fight their digital avatars, right? So there's a whole fighting system. You'll fight their digital avatars in the digital world and just destroy their online presence completely. So that's the Switcher.
Damn, boy. I think that's a good idea.
I was on a journey right there.
Thanks.
I was on a journey.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's well thought out. I think it's really cool to... I like your angle that you can go with violence or you can go with empathy and love, and you can actually heal someone's like pain instead of like what most video games do is shoot their pain to make it more painful. I like that. And I really like the idea of getting to the root of a conspiracy theory, because that's what, when I was doing research for this episode and looking at conspiracy theories, I was like, you can kind of chase the money sometimes and see what the root of that conspiracy theory is, you know, or you can be like, oh yeah, okay, so these guys don't trust the government. And so that's like kind of the root of where all these crazy government things come from. I think it's really fun and relevant for now because there's more conspiracy theories than ever with the internet. I love it.
Thanks. And it's harder to know what's true and what's not. So this is like the hero that our age needs, maybe.
I think they're panicking over at the CD Projekt Red offices right now. Like, they just have to throw out their first draft of Cyberpunk 2077.
That's right.
Yeah.
Also, I think that Cyberpunk is trending up. Like, we're going to see, it's going to be the thing that's overdone in like 3 or 4 years from now, I think.
Cool. I'm ready to give it the green.
Wow.
Yeah, that's like a total green for me.
All right. Cool. Thanks, guys.
Kyle, what you got? We got some room in the budget for you.
Okay, my conspiracy theory thing is, first I want to shout out Area 51, the arcade cabinet from 1995, the light gun game. You guys remember that one?
Yeah.
Where you shoot the space zombies and stuff?
Yeah, it's the one you play when all the other ones are taken.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember it always had that like cord that was so stiff that you could barely like move the gun because it wouldn't give you any mobility. And I was like, what's the point of this? Anyway, that game was my main inspiration. So this is a game where you play a government agent tasked with tracking and either capturing or eliminating conspiracy theory legendary monsters and creatures like Bigfoot, like Chupacabra, like the Jackalope, the Mothman, or the Skunk Ape, like mm-hmm. that, all those like American folklore creatures. And so the gameplay is kind of like a mix between Pokemon Snap, which is the preliminary part of each level where you have to like go and track the monster, and so you're like trying to take photos of the Bigfoot marks and like broken tree branches and stuff, and each level is based on each monster. So it's not like an open world Witcher type game, although it is kind of similar to the Witcher monster hunt missions, which I thought were the best part of that game. So each it's not an open world, but each episode is kind of like, you know, a 1 square kilometer or 2 square kilometer forest area or whatever area it is that like the skunk ape lives, like a bog or a lagoon. And then, so after the Pokemon Snap area, it becomes kind of like a Monster Hunter game where there's like this huge boss battle that takes a really long time against the Bigfoot. And it's got a dark kind of horror element and a high level of difficulty. Mm. That's what I'm thinking. Oh, and it would be called Big Bigfoot Hunter. Kind of like the Big Buck Hunter arcade cabinet.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah, we got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you say that it is an arcade cabinet? Like, it's a point-and-shoot arcade cabinet?
I guess it could work in that way. If the Pokemon Snap section was like you're trying to shoot photographs and then later on you're shooting the big monster, I could see it working as an arcade light gun game, but I had originally thought of it as like a third-person kind of action-y game. Mm. But I like the light gun experience idea. It's kind of cool.
What kind of tools and weapons would our character be using? I know you just said it could be a light gun game, but... What are we talking about here? Are we silver crosses?
Yeah, I think it would have to be kind of dependent on each one of the legendary creatures.
All right.
So you'd have to be using their weaknesses, but it would be cool if you could have to figure out what those weaknesses are and then collect those items if it was a third-person action game. Like you could talk to villagers in a small town that had been ravaged by the Bigfoot, and then you'd be like, oh, Bigfoot hates Swiffers or whatever. And then you got to attack him with whatever the thing is that he hates. That could work. But then you'd have to get voice actors, so maybe that's not the route we want to go, and we keep it simple, and you just have like a camera and a shotgun, and those are the two things you use, or a net gun.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm really seeing like two different versions of this. One is the arcade cabinet where you have either like a gun and a camera, or maybe it's some weird hybrid camera gun thing. Like, I've never seen those two things combined. Have you? Like a gun that's also a camera or vice versa?
Yeah, the end of The Bodyguard. At the end of The Bodyguard, like the bad guy has his gun inside of his camera. Has no one seen The Bodyguard? Kevin Costner, Whitney Houston? It's a classic, people. Never mind.
Okay. Well, The Bodyguard, notwithstanding, I think it would still be original in an arcade context to have both those things. So I could totally see that, or I could see it more in like the third person, action RPG, like you said, especially if, like, you got to figure he's part of like a big government agency, right? And so he's got to have like a cubicle in Annapolis, Maryland or something, where he goes and it's like totally plain, it's a totally an office setting, like in the X-Files, you know, they'd go and see aliens and monsters and stuff, but they'd still go back to their office, which is just like
terribly mundane.
Yeah, terribly mundane. So I feel like that's a real opportunity to learn more about the character of this monster hunter or whoever he is, and who his Scully is. I want to know who
so you have
Scully
to navigate
is.
office politics as well as navigating monster battles outside of the office.
Yeah, totally. Like, you have to try not to get into a fight with your coworker Brad because he makes the coffee too strong, even though you've told him before, like, I get gastric reflux when you make the coffee too strong, Brad.
I can get into this idea if the monsters that you're fighting are really just metaphors for your office arguments. Ooh. Then I could be really into it. Like, the main thing is the navigating small-time microaggressions in an office, and then you go in your mind and fight Bigfoot, who is Brad, and Bigfoot's got a giant coffee maker that he tries to hit you with or something.
I think we're off the reservation here, but this idea is great.
I think it's really getting somewhere. So what if instead of going into your mind, you actually are going out into the world, and what you don't realize until later in the game is that you're the monster. You're the monster who's creating all these monsters in the real world through, like, projections of your own internal conflicts.
What is the thing you actually fight in the forest then?
Oh, it's an actual Bigfoot.
Real.
Yeah, it's real. But the Bigfoot's created because, you know, you've been arguing with Suzanne, the office manager, about where shoes should be stored in the vestibule. Should it be on the rack or in the closet?
So the monsters are physical manifestations of your own anxieties.
Yes, exactly.
Like in a sphere.
And then you have to find a way to hunt yourself.
Oh, my God.
Pretty good. Yeah, the final boss is a mirror.
Like in Zelda 2? Is that what it was? It was Shadow Link.
It was Shadow Link, yeah.
All right.
I kind of like how this evolved. I was ready to green light the initial idea, but I think we've evolved into something a little bit tighter, a little bit stronger. Although it's not completely tied to the conspiracy theory idea, I still like the idea. Chris?
Well, how about this? How about if we want to make it more relevant to conspiracy theories, you realize that you're the monster and that someone has made you that way.
And it's George Soros.
Oh, nice. And the door's open for a sequel there.
Oh, the door's open for a franchise.
Green light.
Wicked. Green light.
Hell yeah.
Lightning round.
Okay. So quick reminder, go to watchmojo.com/suggest, whether you're watching this on Mojo Plays or you've downloaded the audio of this wherever fine audio podcasts are available. Go to watchmojo.com/suggest, find the episode 2 page for the PvP, and vote for your favorite pitches. We're going to start keeping score on those, by the way, as we go along. Anyway, that's a little thing of what's to come. Now, nudity. Hey, the reason why we all clicked on this. Nudity. These are very fast pitches. Ready?
Yeah.
Dan, go.
Okay. Galgun meets House of Dead, set in the Playboy Mansion. You fire clothes onto women who are desperately trying to mate with you.
Nice.
Green light. Nice.
That's easy green. Easy green.
Okay, here we go. It's called Fetal Fashionista. How embarrassing is it that we're born naked? Obviously, you can't dress an unborn child, but you can make damn sure to have the freshest duds waiting for the kid when he gets born. So this is a mobile app that allows expectant parents to upload an ultrasound photo, then dress up the kid with the latest baby fashions, share the photos, order the clothes, and ultimately allow your child to have some dignity.
I hate the idea, but I know it will be profitable, so green light.
Yes.
Green light, man. You can get so many clothing brands on board with that and just make mad money.
Get sponsored by Goop.
Mm-hmm. This is totally a Goop project.
Yeah.
I feel like this isn't the first time we mentioned Goop on this.
It's a recurring theme.
Yeah, okay. Kyle.
Kyle, hit us up.
Okay, mine's called Man's Maintenance Man. You play a tiny nude man, like really, really small, like the size of a human hair, and you are on the body of a giant nude man, and your job is to be in charge of all of his hygiene and grooming. So you run around different parts of his body, and it takes like 10 in-game minutes to run around the huge nude body, and you can like use a lawnmower to get rid of pubic hair, you can like use a small toothbrush to get rid of his big gross teeth, like all that stuff. And your whole game is just making sure that his nude body looks nice.
Can I suggest an addition? What if there's like a fantasy element, and so then there's like when he gets a mole or something, you can go and collect bacteria that become like the elements for a potion that you have to brew to heal the mole.
Definitely, yeah. Anything that you can think of about a human body, you have to go deal with that. And it would just be cool to be that small and see the huge body and be able to run from the butt all the way to the top of the head. It'd be great.
That's a lifelong dream of mine.
I gotta say red light just because it involves my two least favorite topics, which are the male anatomy and personal hygiene.
Typical. Well, it doesn't matter what
fine.
I do. It's got one red light. No, I'm gonna green light it. Yeah.
Sorry.
There we have it.
Soap is gross.
There we have it.
It's gross.
Well, that's it. We've reached the end of the show. Anything else to plug here, fellas? Anything else we want to mention?
Yeah, Chris, I would just like to thank you for championing self-care for men, because it's just such a thing that is rare, and I think we all need to take some time out to care about ourselves. And Dan, I would just like to not thank you for that.
Bottle your emotions up deep inside, guys. Just push them down. Yep. That's my advice for the day.
And they'll shoot out of weird places as conspiracy theories.
There you go.
And then we'll all be the richer for it.
Turning the frog's gate!
Okay, so this is only our second episode, and we really, really want to make many, many, many more. Please leave a comment or review wherever you're hearing or watching this and tell us what you think, and tell us how you would have treated these topics. Do you have a better conspiracy theory treatment than the Switcher? Or, Kyle's? I'd like to hear it. So what else? For each of these pitches, please go to watchmojo.com/suggest. Vote there. Tell us which ones you think should have gotten the green light and why. Subscribe to Mojo Talks, Watch Mojo, and Mojo Plays for more great pitch versus pitch action. Thanks to Kyle and Dan. I'm Chris. Thanks to Manny and Alex in the control room. We'll see you all next time on PvP Pitch versus Pitch.
Bye, yeah!
By the way, Kyle's greatest title of video game ever. That's up there with like Doom.
Which one?
Ultima. You just said
Kyle's
like
game.
The Switcher or Kyle's.
Oh man, yeah.
You guys playing some Kyle's tonight?
That title gets five Kyle's.
Yeah.
What was that game? Kyle's. Yeah.
Kyle's.
Kyle's.
Yeah.